Recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, it's Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews. And now here is Larry.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome in the studio, folks. We're having a great time, and I've been looking forward to this show.
Yeah, Andy, I really have. I've got some questions.
Well, we have a very special guest, Becky. Now, she's about as shy as you can get, but I talked and twisted her arm. And
yes, she did.
I bribed her with chicken and pie and anything else I could, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But she's here tonight, and so we'll introduce her in just a second. But the show is all talked about, or the title is Squatters in Arkansas. Now, you know, when you think about squatters, you hear all these wild, crazy stories about, you know, places like L.A. or New York or Chicago.
Right.
Okay? You don't think that little old Little Rock, Arkansas has any squatter stories.
I didn't think so.
But, you know, I own a restaurant, and we got to talking, you know, a bunch of real estate people come in, and they get to talking to me and everything, and I'm kind of known as the professional visitor around there.
Yeah, you are. We enjoy that.
And pie salesman.
Pie, he always sells me
pie.
Oh,
I push pie.
Oh,
push
he does pie. It. I've already eaten the chicken, then he pushes the pie.
That's right. So, you know, I got to talking about people, and they started telling me some hilarious stories. Now, I say hilarious because they are hilarious, but they're also very serious. You have to feel sorry. At some point, you quit laughing and start crying for the poor people. And so Becky's our first guest. We're going to have a couple of other guests on the show and a couple of other segments that we'll probably do some remotes. And we've never done that.
We're going to try our remote.
We bought new equipment. Right. Becky, you're just looking at a couple old farts that spent a bunch of money, you know.
Well, Larry, I'm here because I like you, dude.
Well, thank you so much.
And I love your food.
Well, this is Becky Finney, and Becky is a real estate agent for Keller Williams. Now, Randy, I'm going to tell you, she is, and I mean this in very sincerely because I don't say things I don't really mean. Becky is one of my favorite customers because the smile you see on her face is there every time she walks in the door.
I appreciate that.
And I got to tell you, Carol, you know, Carol stands up there by the register close to me a lot of times, and the first thing that she hears is, Becky's here. Okay.
Hey, I love both you guys. It's always a joy to be in your restaurant.
Well, your smile brightens our day. I love
Thank
it. I
you.
Wish that I could just take your smile and duplicate it and give it to everybody.
Thank
you. Know?
You. Thank
I just
you.
Think we ought to be a little bit happier, okay?
You know what? When we have a lot to be thankful for.
We do. Very true.
Yeah,
very
that's
true.
Right.
So she's one of our great customers and has really, and I hope you, I'll say it from my angle, I think you've become one of my friends.
I agree. So, friends indeed.
Yeah. Becky's one of those that I go out there and we've had some pretty good discussions.
Yeah, we have. You know, and what I like about it is you and I can talk about things that we don't always agree on or, you know, and we can really talk it through. We
Becky,
solve a lot of problems.
You don't agree with everything I say.
Carol and I usually agree.
Don't
but
worry,
anyway.
Becky. I don't agree with every. I don't, yeah. About half
Randy,
the stuff I don't agree with.
You
him
edit
on.
That out. You edit that out.
Yeah, Carol
We're
and
leaving
I can
it
do
in there.
I'm making a note of that right now.
He won't give me pie anymore.
Well, Becky's the queen of real estate. Becky, let me ask you, do you in Little Rock, do you and your company, do you specify any one region area of Central Arkansas or do you just all over?
So we're all over. Keller Williams is, we're located physically on Cantrell. Cantrell and Sam Peck, Highway 10. So we do a lot of West Little Rock business, but we do business everywhere.
Okay.
Okay. We're scattered all over the place.
Okay.
So anywhere. In Pulaski County, Saline County, we're in Conway, we're in Hot Springs, we're in Pine Bluff, and actually we have people go even further than that.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Well, it's a national company, right?
It is. So, international.
You know, international.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So
we have about, I think we're around 375 agents. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
But Becky is known as one of the top dogs. She's the queen of real estate.
Well, I've been at it a long time, I absolutely love it. I love it.
So the reason we wanted to have you on this show is we got to talking one day, and honestly, I will get away from the cash register and go out there and sit down. I said, Becky, you want any conversation. And, you know, I don't like to do that to people because a lot of times, man, they've talked all day and they want to come in, have a quiet lunch. And, you know, but Becky and I will sit down. I'll come out there and I'll sit down and visit with her and stuff. So I would say what problems you and I haven't set on the air and fixed, Randy, she and I have fixed the
we really do fix a lot of them.
Yeah, we do.
If folks would just listen to us.
It's just common sense.
Yeah. I mean it.
It really is. It's common sense.
I mean it.
You know? So we're possibly not the brightest bulbs in the pack, but.
Yeah, we got it. But we got this thing.
Well, you put two of the half brains together and you get one and we can do it.
We can do it.
So anyway, Becky, I'll quit playing around. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us, I know that you've got a couple of squatter stories that I'd like to hear. Randy, you probably haven't heard them. So tell us one of them, okay?
Yeah, so I think one of the funniest, and I'll say funny now in hindsight, it wasn't funny when it was happening.
Right.
But I had a property listed in Little Rock. It was in the central Little Rock area. And a lady she made an offer on the property and she hadn't gotten her financing. At that time, this was years ago, we would kind of take offers before we got that final approval letter, which we don't do at all anymore.
Right.
But anyway, the lady actually moved into the property. She literally broke in. I mean, she had no key, but, you know, had an offer signed and agreed upon. She and her 3 or 4 children, I mean, moved into like a 3,000 square foot house, and they were living in the house just like it was home. And when I'd call her, you know, I'd ask her about her financing. She's like, well, I've got to talk to my lender. But the seller found out, a neighbor told the seller that somebody was in her house. And, you know, she thought, well, maybe the lady sold it. But when she called the owner said, well, we're in the process, but we haven't. That's how we found out that it had actually been occupied.
Let me get this straight. You showed the lady the home. She made the offer.
She made the offer.
And then she just moved in.
Okay. No financing, no cash, nothing. No name on deed, nothing.
Wow.
So, yeah, she moved in. She moved her kids in. And I went to talk to her. I was pretty bold. I would never do that now. But I went to talk to her, you know, asking her why she was there and all of that on the owner's behalf. And she said, well, I thought I was buying it and I thought I could go ahead and move in. Even talking to her about how she got in, you know, she said, well, the door was open. And she wouldn't move. And I could tell the teenage daughter was there. The daughter was very uncomfortable. So I left. I knew I couldn't handle a situation like that. And the owner got in touch with the police. I met the police there on a second visit. And in talking to the lady, you know, she played like she didn't know what was going on. And so she thought she could move in because she had an offer on it. And she was just living until everything closed. She never even made loan application. Come to find out, she could not get a loan. Mm. But when the police showed up and they started asking questions, the little girl was so uncomfortable. She said, Mom, let's just go. Let's just go. And then the little girl said, we do this all the time.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, I felt sorry for the daughter. She was a kid.
Well, sure.
You know? And, but it told me a lot about the mom. It told me this is what they do. So
the first question I had was, do you think this is her first rodeo? Oh. And then you answered it. No, it was not.
It wasn't. I thought she misunderstood.
And isn't it the children, you know, or the loved one that always pays the higher price, you know?
Yeah, that's
right. Here they do that. We do this all the time.
That's right. And she had actually gotten utilities on and everything, you know. She was literally living in the house.
Wow.
And, I mean, clothes in the closet, just living there. So it took about 2 months to get her out of there. So that's when I began to realize it wasn't as simple as calling the police, you know, saying you need to leave now. No, she had to have a lawyer, the seller did, and it took some time and money to...
Because if I'm not mistaken, what I hear from other people that tell me these stories mm-hmm. is the law is not written for the homeowner.
No. Well, at that point, certainly not. Now, I haven't dealt with it lately.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, the homeowner was just stuck. I mean, you know, and the lady, the squatter, knew it.
Sure,
so
they
she
did.
Understood the law.
Oh, yeah, they do
a lot better than I did, or yeah. the homeowner. So it was a bad situation because the homeowner's house was tied up. They didn't damage it badly, but they left a lot of trash.
Sure,
homeowner had to take care of all of that when it was a nice, clean, ready to sell home.
Wow,
you know, so it was bad for the seller too. I really hated that happened wow. and happened on my watch. I was stunned, but I learned a lot.
You know, my brother-in-law and sister lived back in Missouri,
mm-hmm.
and they were into flipping homes mm-hmm. and rental homes. Mm-hmm. I think at one time they had like 20 rental homes.
Okay.
And he wanted me to get into it here in Little Rock, and I said no. I said, Steve, I don't have the temperament.
Yeah.
Because people will go in there. He told me this one story. It was, he went in, bought this home, went in and painted, cleaned it all up, fixed it all up, put in brand new carpet, went into the kitchen, put in new countertops, new cabinets, new sink, faucets, the whole Ooh. 9 yards. He said, Larry, it was like a little dollhouse. Mm-hmm. It was really a nice little rental home. They rented it. The guy got behind, mm-hmm. went over there, talked to him. Yeah, I can make it up. I can do this. I can do that, you know, and I'll catch up and this and that. Months and months later, okay,
mm-hmm.
and he could not get him out because, again, the law is not written
right.
for the homeowner.
Right.
Okay. And yet, he said about a month or two later, he went over there, looked in the window. The home was empty.
Mm.
He got inside. The brand new carpet
yep.
had been ripped off the floor and rolled up and carried out. They stole the countertops, including yeah. the sink and the faucet.
Oh my.
Wow.
They didn't take the cabinets. I guess they were screwed down too tight.
Well, I'm glad they didn't, because I have seen that happen as well.
Really?
In houses. Now, you know, I mean, I don't know who went in and did it, but I've seen carpet ripped off the floor. I've seen literally the cabinets have been dismantled, pulled from the wall, and, you know,
wow.
all kinds of things, especially during from maybe 06 to 08, somewhere along in there, where you saw a lot of foreclosures.
Yeah.
People were doing all kinds of things. So, yeah.
I just would not have the nerve to do that.
Wow. Yeah.
I really
yeah.
wouldn't.
Mm.
Well,
Randy, you own a couple of rentals, right?
Yeah, I do. And I haven't had any trouble, but, you know, I don't do it a lot. I've got two. I had one. Well, I had one, and I mean, my renters were living free. Because it was my daughter.
yeah.
In between homes.
Yeah, in between homes.
Oh, okay. So, I was going to say, keep family out sometimes. Kids so, particularly.
Yeah. So anyway, she just purchased a new home. She just moved out. So it's going to be for rent. It's in Maumelle. And then I just purchased another one in Maumelle. So I'm hoping that's a area that won't get... I don't know how the Maumelle police feel about all that.
Well, and I think the laws... I don't do a lot of rentals. So I'm not really up on the tenant landlord laws and regulations. I'm not like I probably should be, but there have been some changes. So it's probably not as difficult now as it used to be.
Before you share your next story, I'll share one more with you.
Okay.
I was talking to a gentleman. I said, hey, well, I'm going to do this podcast mm-hmm. about, you know, squatters and all. He goes, oh, my God, I got a friend that works for a large okay, a large real estate company like yours.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember the name. Thank God I can't, because I wouldn't want to share it. But anyway, one of the people that was in charge of the rentals
uh-huh.
that kept all of the figures of you know, what's rented and what's not,
uh-huh.
they moved into one of the homes and was squatting themselves.
Oh, my goodness. I know that story, too. Yeah, I know
that. And cooking the books.
Yep.
You heard of that one, huh?
No, not that particular one. But when you said that, I thought of a time I had another property listed, and there was a real estate agent that had the buyer for that property. And the agent moved into the house after the transaction didn't work. Agent moved into the house until they got thrown out.
Oh, my goodness.
So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. All kinds of things.
Crazy, isn't it? I just don't have the audacity to do this kind of stuff.
Well, you need to get some guts, Larry.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
He's got everything else.
Here, I've been writing those checks, you know.
Right. You could have been doing this free.
Okay. Tell us another story.
Yeah. So, you know, and Randy, you were talking about the Mommel police. I don't know, you know, how they view these things. Probably not good, but I was... even in a brand new construction I had about 6 months ago in the Walnut Valley area, builder had built a lovely home, and we were getting ready to have an open house on Sunday. And the agent that was holding it open had gone in the house preparing everything, putting her water out and her little treats and all, and had been in the house for almost an hour when all of a sudden, a lady comes out of the bedroom and started just screaming and yelling, saying, please don't call the police. And this lady was squatting. She had broken into the house and was living there. She had bathtub was filthy. This is new construction.
Wow.
The carpet had gotten dirty. They had to. It was a bad deal.
Mm.
So, yeah, she was intending to be there, I guess, until the house sold. So, you know, yeah, that was a bad one.
I've been desperate in my life, but I've never gotten to that point.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And yeah. You can't excuse it. You know, you have to prosecute it.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. Somebody was telling me that another real estate person was telling me that they had some friends that went on an extended vacation. Mm-hmm. I'm talking a 3 or 4 week vacation. Mm-hmm. You don't hear of people taking, you know, a month off and, you know, unless they're going international. Occasionally you hear of that, but it's not as prevalent as maybe it used to be. And so they said they were gone from their home for like 3 or 4 weeks, and they got home, walked in. Here's a family living in their home.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Living in it.
Wow.
I said, well, what did they do? Well, they called the police, and I don't know what happened, but finally they got them out. And I said, oh, my God, I just don't have the temperament and the patience to deal with that.
Right. Well, it can be dangerous. I had I got one more story, but I had a client. I was selling his home, and he had redone the house to got it market ready, and a lady... I think a man, too, a family, lady, had moved into the house. The way he found, of course, they broke the window in the back, but they had, the bathtub was filthy, and they were washing clothes. And he said the reason he didn't kill her, because he did have his gun, he said, is he saw the baby clothes in the dryer. But, yeah. And then, you know, he threatened them and ran them off, boarded up his house, and we got back to the marketing piece of it. And then in another week, they were right back. So they're not afraid.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, Randy is a builder. And so there's times it would be over for dinner. This hadn't happened in a long time. But he always puts up cameras, you know, on his job sites.
Yes.
And one night we're having dinner, and all of a sudden he jumps up and screams, "Larry, grab your gun!" I'm like, "Well, it's on my hip. Why am I getting my gun? I didn't see anybody to shoot, you know." And the meal didn't taste that bad.
Right.
So he went running for the door. He said, "Come on, get in the truck." Well, here we go flying down the road. I said, "Where are we going?" He said, one of my job sites, he said, the alarm just went off and somebody's in there. And, of course, they'll go in and steal all the copper and all kinds of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
They will do that. We just recently had a generator stolen. So they literally walked off with a big generator.
I drove up to one of my jobs and one time and caught a guy stealing all my tools.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up to him and I said, I said, where are you taking these tools? And he said, well, I can't remember. He said something like Armando told me to come get him. He was a bricklayer. And I said, well, I know Armando.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Armando. He said, man, I didn't tell this guy to do nothing.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, you just better wait right here. So I called the police right then.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've got a guy, and I've got him held here. And he's stopped. He's not moving. And he stole all my tools off my job. And I need somebody to come here. And I didn't have a gun, but I just told him to stay. And he did. And the police drove up and did the report and all that. And he said, I've got to let him go.
Why is that?
I said, listen, his tools are in the truck, in his truck right now. There they are. Those are my tools. He'll tell you. He'll tell you he stole them. And I said, take him to jail. Arrest him. Do whatever. He said, I didn't see him do it. I said, he admitted he did it. He said, well, it's not over $1,000. And so they couldn't do it. He says, you can go down and file. In other words, you know, putting it all back on me. I've got to go down to the police station. Yeah. I've got to go down there and spend my time.
Sure.
And then hopefully they'll arrest him or do whatever and stuff like that. You know, it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
He said, so the police officer did go give him a stern warning. He didn't tell him. He just told him that he better not show up again or else he's going to be in big trouble. And he understood, he didn't. So
did they at least unload your tools?
Yeah. He unloaded my tools. Okay. I got all my tools back. Mm. Yeah. But, you know, if it's under a certain amount and they don't see them, police are got their hands tied too.
Yeah. Well, Little Rock is just like other metropolitan cities, you know. I mean, we've got all kinds of issues here. So don't be shocked about squatters.
Not at all. Well, and you know, last week, here's one that I would have shared with you but you haven't been in time.
Uh-huh.
I think it was last Thursday or Friday. I'm away from the cash register, and I'm actually out on the parking lot running a beggar off. Mm-hmm. I have to run the beggars off the parking lot because people get scared, okay? Right. You do not want to come to Bobby's Country Cooking, and the moment that you start to open your door, there's a beggar there, okay?
At your door.
At your door.
Or at your window.
Money.
Window waiting on you to get out.
And I've had them do that. Absolutely. And poor little old women get terrified, you know, of this. So I'm known as the really bad wolf, you know, that owns Bobby's, and they call me a bunch of bad, ugly names and everything, and all the Karens in the world, they hate me, you know, because I don't feed them all. They think that I ought to take Bobby's and turn it into a soup kitchen for all the beggars out on the street, but that's a different podcast, and I do have one coming up called Karens in the Hood. Yeah, I haven't told you about that one, but I'm writing it right now. We'll have a lot of fun on that one as well. So this guy comes in. I'm out running this beggar off, okay? Guy comes in, takes one of my Bobby's business cards from up front, and simply writes on it, I owe you. Orders a plate lunch, gets a drink, comes up to the cash register, and the girl that's at the cash register hands me the card, turns around and walks off and goes out and is eating. So I come back in. She goes, Mr. Larry, I need your help real quick. And I said, what's up? That guy out there in the gray hoodie? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he handed me this card. And I had to look at it. It said, I owe you. I said, this is my business card. He didn't pay for his meal? No. So I went out there, and he sat in a table that's kind of mixed in with some other people that were there. And I walked up, and I said, sir, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, no, I'm okay. And I said, what's this card all about? Well, he said, my girlfriend called and placed my order for me. I said, she didn't pay for it. Well, yeah, she knew I was coming up. She's going to pay for it. I said, was it an order to go? Well, maybe she mistook the thing for. So I walked up to the register and I said, hey, do we have an order to go? And I forget the girl's name, but we'll use Karen. I said, do we have an order for Karen to go? No, nobody's called. As I turned, he's headed out the front door.
Okay. He ran off.
Now, actually, it was Friday because I remember he was eating catfish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was Friday. So I went out there. I called 911,
mm-hmm.
gave the full description of the guy. okay? Everything I could think of. The 911 dispatch says, well, sir, I can't really help you with that. I'm going to give you a number, another number to call. Can tell me when you're ready to take this number down. I said, you're out of your ever-loving mind. I'm out here on the parking lot with a cell phone, have nothing to write with or write down on. I said, so just forget it. I'll eat the lunch and forget all about it.
Yep.
It just ticks me off because we empower people to do illegal things.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's just nonsense.
Well, and I, you know, when I see people, I never know what their needs are, and my heart certainly goes out.
Sure.
Some I know
are
don't mean well, and some do. But what I do when I'm close to restaurants like that, I'll offer to buy a meal for them. You know, if that's not what they want, then they'll leave. So, you know, I've done that. I've had them at Walmart to approach me, and I'll say, I'll go in and get what you need. And they'll say no, you know.
But. You know, there's a guy that drives a little Ford Ranger truck, and his wife is all slumped over, you know, and she's looking really puny and really sad and bad and everything. And he'll drive up on Sam's parking lot. Hey, man, I'm trying to get my wife to UMS, and I need some gas money. I looked at him, and I said, is this the same wife that was about to die last week when you hit me up for money? He just looked at me, you know, and she kind of perked up like, well, we've been blown.
And
they drive away.
Yeah.
And Becky, let me tell you, and I will tell all the viewers and listeners, Randy and I are we're two extremely, to a fault, generous people.
Mm-hmm.
We have given away a lot of money in our lifetime. We've written a lot of checks. We've done a lot of things for people. I know Randy has bought cars for people and different things. And we bend over backwards, okay, to help people.
Right.
I am a very generous person, and so is Randy. But somebody that's just wanting to beg or squat or something like that, I have no time for. And don't ask me to have compassion because I'm sorry. I'm just not there.
I hear you.
Last year, I was at a gas station getting gas, and the car pulled up beside me and was getting gas. It was a lady, it was a younger lady, and she had two kids in the back seat. You could tell, I mean, it wasn't that good of a car, and the way she was dressed and the kids were and all that. She put $5 worth of gas in her car, $5. And she wasn't asking for gas, wasn't asking for a handout or anything. And I said, is that all you're getting? She said, yeah, that's all the money I got for gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, wait a second. I said, it's your lucky day. And I put my credit card in there and took that hose. And I filled it all the way up, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, you do that to people that you know that. You know, I use my spirit to listen.
And absolutely.
Tell me to do stuff like that. I do stuff. I'll buy some people's meals or something like that. But I listen to my spirit, and it's usually not the ones that are asking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it's the ones that I discern.
Absolutely.
That need a helping hand. Donna does all the time. She saw somebody look. It reminded of her dad. He was eating lunch by himself, and she went over to the waiter and said, I'm taking care of his meal. He didn't even know it. We left, and he didn't even know it.
Carol will look at me. I guess I have a look on my face when I'm getting ready to do something because she'll look at me and go,
what are you doing?
You're going to buy their meal, aren't you? You know?
Yeah.
And because I see people, and I'm like, but you're correct. All three of us are believers sitting here today.
Indeed.
And when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you move.
That's right.
That's right. And I have no problem whatsoever with having a tender heart and with being obedient to His voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I tell people a lot of times when I see them out like that, I will invite them. Let them know I can reach out to my church because our church can help them, you know. Mm-hmm. So when they really need help, they will accept that.
Yeah.
If they're not looking for help, then, you know, they're going to.
And, you know, you've been in our restaurant a lot, and all the food, people question me all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you do with all the leftovers?
I ask you that.
Yeah. Well, I don't go around and I don't wear a badge of honor or something. I just quietly, we've got two different churches that roll up every day.
Yep.
We've got to-go pans that we put all the leftover food. Now, first of all, my staff goes through and takes whatever food they want to feed their own family.
I've seen them.
Okay? Mm-hmm. They're first and foremost, okay? The second thing is then they put it all in to-go pans. Mm-hmm. We have boxes, and there are two different churches that come every day and pick it up after closing, and they will take it. There is a lady shelter, and they'll go nameless, a lady shelter that I truly believe in. I've spoken there, okay, as a Sunday school teacher. I've actually spoken there for the ladies. And there's a men's shelter. And those are two places that I truly believe in and want to help.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of like the fuzzy hair white lady that white-haired lady that is on the street corner a lot, and she always sings to herself, and she's always on her government phone, I guess it is. And that sounds critical, but I see her all the time. One day she came in, somebody gave her a lunch from Bobby's.
Okay.
She cussed me because I didn't give her a drink. And she went out on the parking lot, opened it up, turned the thing upside down and threw the food on the ground.
Oh my goodness.
Threw the container on the ground and cussed me and was screaming, you know, obscenities and screaming, he's trying to rape me, he's trying to attack me, he's, you know. And
sounds like some mental health issues.
It is, okay. Mm-hmm. But do you know where she lives? She's not homeless. Mm-mm. She lives across the interstate at Motel 6 on the third floor on the very end. She and the guy that wears the eye patch on, that's always on the corner, if you'll take a good watch at him, look at him.
Okay.
His eye patch is on the left eye one day. It's on the right eye the next day. And if you get close enough to him, there's a slit in it to where he can see out of it.
How about that?
So compassion is not the easiest thing to show to people anymore.
Have you seen the guy that has the need money and he has the Cash App? His Cash App.
Yes. Yes. A Cash App.
Just give me the Cash App.
Becky, have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Now,
seen
I
that.
Had to go ask my kids. I said, what is a Cash App?
Yeah,
and
no.
I'm old enough, I don't even know. Okay.
I'm not sending too many. My a couple of young ladies that work for me, they want to be paid with Cash App. I know them, so I'm okay doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sending anybody money by Cash
App. Here's a beggar on the street.
I'm not doing that.
Cash
not
App.
Doing that. Not
you know,
doing
and, that. And we'll end with this because we're way off topic
we got
here.
Off topic.
But it's still a good topic to have. Years ago, probably 20 years ago or so, there was a couple of attorneys, well-known attorneys in Memphis. Mm-hmm. That decided, then they went to the police, they went to the local TV stations and said, we're going to try this as an experiment. They went on Saturdays and Sundays, dressed real dirty, raggedy clothes, got on the street and started panhandling. Just to see how much these people are actually getting.
So they made some
tons of money handed to them.
Oh, yeah.
So then they came out, two attorneys got on the news and said, we did this as an experiment, folks. Mm-hmm. Here's how much we made. Now, we're going to give this, all this money that we collected, we're going to give it to our favorite charity, and they named the charity and gave it to them, okay?
Right.
But they said, here's the real bottom line. You've got to be careful and cautious about who you're handing money to.
Yeah, you do. And that's why I like to have... be able to send them, at least tell them about my church or other churches. They're places that will help when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we never know what a person's situation is. So if they will just reach out to the church or let me put the church in contact with them.
Well, and you know, I called my senior pastor one day, years and years ago. I said, hey, I've been hit up by this. You know, some people's about to lose their home, blah, 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 blah. He goes, well, Larry, he said, now you can give to them, but here's what I can tell you. They've gone through about six different adult Sunday school classes here and begged money out of all of them.
Yeah.
And it is a bottomless pit. I know their story far better than they want me to know. It's a bottomless pit. They're going to lose their home. If you want to throw your money away, feel free. But I'm just telling you the truth. That's why I called. I said, consider it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so I didn't give them a penny. So... Well, it has been wonderful to have you. We appreciated your squatter stories. And we're going to have a couple of other people on in another segment. But Becky, it is such an honor to have you on our podcast. And thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to us.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it.
All right.
Good chatting with you.
All right. We'll be back after this commercial.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Homestyle cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
Hey, everybody. We're out of the studio today. Randy's not with me. I'm sure he's out on the boat crappie fishing is what he's probably doing. But I have a guest with me. His name is Jason, and he's a good customer of ours at our restaurant. And he came in the other day and was telling me this story. Now, I got to be honest with you. This is so far-fetched and so outrageous. You may not believe it. I may not believe it. I don't even know if Jason's going to believe it, okay? But we're doing this show on squatters, and he come in and told me this story, and I said, Jason, would you mind meeting me somewhere and asking, wow, we got some competition from the Canadian geese over here, so excuse us, but we're going to roll right ahead and go live with this. But I said, would you come on and tell us this story? And so, Jason, tell the viewers your story and what you told me there at Bobby's.
So, you know, my mom and my stepdad and me were all customers of yours, and my stepdad, he passed away in December of 22. Everybody, you know, they all grieve differently, and my mom's had a really hard time of going back home since then. Well, she's finally made the mind up that she wants to move. She wanted to move back home, and when we went and inspected, she's been going out there and checking her mailbox, and that's about all she'd do, but when she went in to enter the house, the locks had been changed. And she didn't change them, and nothing like that. Well, she calls the police, which is, and they told her there's nothing they can do about it for the simple fact that it's squatters in there, and they have rights.
They have rights.
They have rights.
She owns the home.
She owns the home.
They have
but
rights.
But because they've established residency there, they have rights, and you have to go through a proper eviction channel to evict them. And I said, when the cop told me that, I said, well, how does one go about just establishing residency wherever they want to? Larry, you can get a bill, you can get a piece of mail, you can get just a change of address form with that address on there. And once you do that, and you stayed there for, I believe it's, he said 72 hours, you've got squatter's rights at that residence. And you have to go. So she said, well, if y'all aren't going to do this, I'll call the locksmith and just have the locksmith come and change the locks. I've got proof I own the property. But when the locksmith came out and heard the situation and got the law involved with it themselves, the law said, no, they have squatter's rights. She can't even change the locks on the house. So the locksmith went above and beyond because mom could show that. And he felt sorry for my mother. He went ahead and broke the locks and put new locks on and changed it. And when my mom went in there, the people had taken a lot of the high value stuff. We don't know where they took it to. We don't know who the squatters are. But one of the things they took was my stepfather's urn. And we're thinking, well, why in the world would you take an urn? And I guess one of the latest crazes now, the part that I didn't even believe that I told you about, they had taken some of my stepfather's ashes, and we're assuming the law said they could have smoked them.
Smoked them.
Smoked the ashes of a dead person. And when I said, what in the world would they get off of that? What kind of high would they get? And they said they are so desperate for a high that anything and everything that dead person took before they died, they're thinking is still in their system, and they can smoke it and get in their system.
Do you believe it? I don't know that I do. Jason just admitted he doesn't know if he does. Now, that's crazy. Now, we're doing this show on squatters, and, you know, you've obviously heard squatters have rights. And I understand it is just so tough to get squatters out of a property.
And it's what's the thing I don't get, Larry, is it's not a national, this is a state level law. These are Arkansas laws that squatters have. You have to give them, I believe it's a week, to get their stuff out of your property. You have to serve them in writing, serve them with eviction papers, just like a renter. You have to serve them with eviction papers, and then they have to leave. And at that point, once they don't do that, then the law can get involved and get them out.
Now, Jason, let's also face the point that the locksmith, this was not his first rodeo.
No.
Because he knew, once he heard the squatter story, he knew he has faced this type of situation before.
right?
Right.
That's why he called the police and got them involved again.
To cover himself.
So you don't know who the people were. No. How did they get in the home in the first place? Did they break in or what?
No, my mother actually was looking for some help, for some manpower to do some things like fix some flooring, fix some things like that. And she went to her church. And at the church, they knew some people. And my mom did not have time to stay there with them 24/7. So she gave a verbal contractor the key to the house. And at that point, it went sour.
Yeah. Well, folks, squatters have rights. Homeowners, it's tough. The way the laws are written, and Jason, you are correct. This is an Arkansas law, but this is happening all over the nation. And the reason we're doing this show is because a lot of people think, oh, it happens in Chicago, it happens in New York or LA, something like that. Folks, it's also happening right here in central Arkansas. So pay attention to your property. I've heard of people taking a 3-week vacation, coming back, and there were squatters in their home for an extended vacation. So I just wanted Jason to share the story. Pay attention. Are they out now and
yes,
everything?
Yes, they are out now. Mom was moving back in, but it was like what happened with the urn. It was just like pouring salt into her whole womb, and she's trying to heal. And we finally got her where she'll move back home. And it was just a big mountain of a low hill that me and my son were not so nice about.
Well, folks, here's one. Well, I can just tell you, I probably wouldn't have been as nice either, because instead of calling the cops, I might have ran in there with guns blazing. I might have been the one ended up in jail. Who knows? But, folks, here's a story I told you probably wouldn't believe. Randy, I hope you had a lot of fun crappie fishing today, because you missed being here with us or being in the studio. But, folks, this is something weird, but I just wanted to let you know this story. Jason, thank you for coming on air with us. And, Randy, we're coming back to the studio for the last segment of this show, but take us to a commercial, and then we'll be right back, folks.
When your event is catered by Bobby's Country Cooking, it's like coming home to eat. And Bobby's makes it easy. 224-9500 for the best home-style catering available, with desserts to die for. The food you love for your next gathering. Bobby's Country Cooking, Little Rock.
Welcome back, folks. We have, we're trying out our new technology.
Yeah.
And boy, we have had a real hiccup trying to get it all to work, but I think we've got it. We have a couple of guests here, Stan and Jane McClellan. They're both with McClellan and Associates Real Estate Group. So if you're wanting to buy a house, sell a house, I'm sure that they don't mind me giving them a free advertisement.
There you go.
And they're actually good customers of ours at Bobby's Country Cooking. They come in for lunch all the time. And I was telling them about the podcast, and we were visiting, and Jane said, well, I've got a story about squatters that happened when I was a young lady with my parents. So, Jane, I'm going to throw it over to you and let you tell us that story, okay?
Well, my mom and dad bought 80 acres just south of Fayetteville in the Mountainburg area. That 80-acre parcel was bound on three sides by road, and there was probably a quarter acre on one edge that was never included in the original fence. A couple had asked my parents, could they live on it? That had had a house there before. So there was water, and there was a septic tank, and my dad's generous, has always been almost to a fault, and he said, sure. And so he also realized he knew enough about property. He went to them after several years and told them that he would need them to move, that he wanted to enclose the entire 80 acres with new fence, and he was going to do that. And so they went down to the tax, to the courthouse, and tried to pay the taxes. Of course, my mom and dad had already done that, but they tried to say that they had lived on the property for a period of years, and they were entitled to have the property now since they had maintained it. My parents were successful in being able to keep the property and fence it in and make it theirs, but it was not without some difficulty on their part, which was a little frustrating to them in that it cost them a little bit of extra money to have them then removed from the property. I don't remember the exact details of who they used. I remember the attorney's name because he lived right up there in that area and were friends of my parents. But, you know, I did some research, and the law down in Arkansas says that a squatter can potentially gain ownership through adverse possession after openly and continuously occupying the property for 7 years, treating it as their own, and paying the property tax. So people need to realize they must be diligent, even if they own unimproved property. That's what this was. This was a farm that was used for raising cattle, wasn't really improved. It had been cleared and was cut for hay, but not that one little portion because it had never been in that original 80-acre tract. It was outside of it. It created quite a bit of stir in the family, but it was successfully kept in our family at that point. So we were pleased to know that my parents won, but it was after the battle.
Yeah, after they had the goodness of their heart, how long did these people live there?
They probably let them live 4 years.
Four years.
I don't know what the law was in Arkansas at that time, but there was still a squatter's right kind of thing. And my parents, my mother worked for the government, so she was not completely illiterate. My mom and dad weren't, but they knew that they couldn't continue to just let them live there free. And that's what they did originally. They needed some help. My parents gave them the land to live on. They had a mobile home. They asked them, the house had been torn down. It was an old house. And could they just move the mobile home in there and live for a while? My parents thought, sure, you're not going to be inside where our cattle were or anything like that. But it turned out that a good thing turned out to be a bad thing for them.
And how long ago was this?
Oh, my goodness. Let me think. I probably was 14 years old. So I'm going to say 50-something years ago. But it was still going on. You know, it's still that people would try to take possession of something that wasn't really theirs.
You know, and that was back when, you know, your neighbor helped neighbor. And that was back when, you know, my dad always told me that a handshake was a good enough contract.
That's
back how we were raised, right? So
yeah, there was no lease. There was no lease on the property. My dad didn't charge them any money to live there. They just had to pay their own utilities.
Yeah.
There was a well there, I believe. I know there was septic there. So it didn't cost them much except their utilities. And they just took advantage of it.
Absolutely.
They tried to take advantage of it.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's sad, you know, Randy. I mean, we used to be in a society to where even 50 years ago, this is way outside the norm, I would guess, 50 years ago. But today, this would be the absolute norm.
I think so.
I mean, I don't do anything without a contract.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't.
I learned that.
It is a very, very sad story that you would think it just wouldn't have to happen, but it did.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that story. Go ahead. You have some more?
I would say people still need to be very careful. There are scams and things going around. You need a very smart, you need to be watching your property because we've been told, even in the real estate business, that people are coming in to a title company saying, we own this property, and going through the hoops to get it into their name, and they don't really own the property. It's just a scam.
Yeah, guys, I said on a segment, the earlier segment, that someone went away for about a 3 or 4 week vacation, which is an extended vacation now these days, okay? Hardly anybody takes that long of a vacation, but they were gone, came back. There were people living in their home. I mean, can you imagine? To me, I just can't even imagine that. So I would say alarm systems, get you a house sitter. Randy, right. When you go on vacation, even for a week,
right.
You have a house sitter come over, correct?
Right. Yes.
Well, that's kind of the smarter way to do it. Don't let anybody set up camp because once they get in, It is tough. One last question for you, Jane. How long did the legal battle to get them out, how long did that last?
You know, I was only probably about 14 years old, but I would say it went on for probably at least 4 or 5 months. And that was a long time back then.
Sure.
They started to get an attorney involved just to make sure that they did it the right way, because they did have personal property on my mom and dad's property,
right,
which they allowed.
Wow.
So, you know, it's the whole route of I need to evict. It's an eviction process. I don't think it's going to be anywhere as long as the next story you're going to hear.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I did have plans.
Yeah. It complicated, and no contract.
Yeah.
It complicated things.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I did have plans for Jane to come on and tell this story. And then all of a sudden, and Stan was like, nah, I don't have any stories. I don't want to talk. And then one day he comes in and he's kind of pumped up. You know, he gets to the cash registry and goes, I want on the podcast. Yeah. I got a story.
That's
it. So, well, let's let the dog hunt. Go ahead. Tell us your story.
Okay. Well, you know, if you watch the news very much, you'll see that there are landlord and tenant arguments all the time.
Okay.
And there's people pulling for more tenant rights and people saying tenants don't have enough rights in Arkansas. It's all for the landlord. Well, my story is I have rented property for 30 years. Right. And back in the old days, when I got a tenant that would not pay, I would give them an eviction notice and tell them they have 3 days to get out. And my goodness, Larry, they would get out and clean the house. And sometimes they'd leave it nasty. But we live in a society these days that is far from that, as we've already talked about.
Yes.
So my story is I have a tenant that has lived in one of my rental units for over a year. And then all of a sudden, and he was late several months, but always was able to make the payment, even though it was late, and even agreed to have a consistent late fee because he was going to be late. But then all of a sudden, it wasn't late. It was didn't come in at all. And I would talk to him about it. So finally, I gave him an eviction notice at the near the end of November, and was hoping to have him out by Christmas. But in this day and time, I can't represent myself. I have to have a lawyer. Judge Fox told me that when I got to the podium one day. He said, you can't represent yourself because you're an LLC. And that seemed discriminatory to me.
An individual can represent themselves, but not if your property is held in an LLC.
There you go.
Got it.
So I got that notice from Judge Fox and went and hired an attorney. And in this case, I have an attorney, and he's started the process. And I was hoping, like I said, to have the tenant out by December. And things rolled on into January. No rent for December, no rent for January, and I'm going any day now. This is going to, you know, the teeth of justice is going to take over. And so I would talk to my attorney, and he said, we've got to have a court appearance. We've got to appear before, guess who? Judge Fox again. And the reason for that is that I had delivered the eviction notice to the house, and the gentleman that was signed on the lease, he's always gone working somewhere. Well, his girlfriend that lives there is the only person that you could hand this to. So I delivered it to her. So here I am in court now with a judge saying, I'm challenging the legality of you delivering an eviction notice to someone that's not a blood relative and not on the lease.
I saw it coming, didn't you, Randy?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So luckily, I had an attorney who was on the ball, and he said, well, Judge, I've got a case here in Virginia where we had the same situation, and the judge honored that because you've got to deliver it. Who are you going to deliver it to if you've got a missing tenant? But here's this woman that's there all the time. That's your only opportunity to deliver. So the judge then said, okay, well, I'll rule for you, and I will sign the eviction notice. Oh, well, hallelujah. The wheels of justice are going to roll, right?
Wrong.
That was 6 weeks more rolled on, and we're into March.
Yeah, we are.
And I'm going, where are the wheels of justice, you know, for the landlord to get a tenant that is not paying and he's happily living in the house?
Yeah.
Well, finally, I will tell you that I got a call Friday afternoon from the sheriff's office. They said, we have a lockout scheduled for 9:30 Monday morning. We need you to be there to let us in. And if anybody's there, they will be removed. And Larry, I'm going to tell you, and Randy, it was like a convoy. As we were heading to the property, there were two sheriff's vehicles in front of me. I'm going, Jane, I have a feeling we're following them to our house. And yeah, correct.
Wow.
When we got there, there were already two sheriff's vehicles there. So that's four. And so
one more came.
I got out and went back and talked to the first car. And he says, have you got keys to the property so we don't have to bust the door down? I said, yes, here they are. So he said, there's one more detective coming, and then we're going to go to the door. And I will tell you that it went quietly and peacefully from there. But the tenant, being the world-class liar that he is, he's smooth talker. He's talking to these guys like they're friends of his. And I walked up to him and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working on my truck. I said, well, you are supposed to, by the court order, leave the property now. That's not later this afternoon. That's right now. And there's five of these officers standing there going with their arms folded saying, that's correct. So he did leave at that point. His girlfriend came and picked him up in her brand new Jeep that still has the paper tag on it that they bought with rent money that was not paid to me.
Of course.
And there's the court system rolling on today. And that's most of my story.
What county was this in?
This was Pulaski. And Park, Arkansas.
And what Arkansas? Where, what part of Arkansas?
Little Rock?
Yeah.
Wow.
So after he leaves the premises, he's got all his furniture and furnishings still in the house, not really totally packed up. He told us he was going to be out 2 weeks ago. He hasn't moved yet. And his mother was cleaning the house.
He said his mother was, he called me or texted me Thursday night. We're getting out, and my mom's already over there cleaning the house, which is all fictitious because that house was filthy and beaten up, and we'll have some painting and restoration to do after he does finally get out. So today, he's actually given this period of time to get out. I've already had the keys
locks
changed, and after this podcast, I'm going over there to lock him out. And anything that he hasn't gotten could be sold or given away or whatever.
We have to dispose of. Do you know what I mean? We
have to dispose. Sure.
Oh, of course.
Your responsibility.
I just hope he didn't take any appliances or anything like that. I've heard horror stories of that happening.
And we will find out when we get there. That may be for my next podcast.
He's going to be a regular guest, I can tell, right?
I know it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let me ask you, do you know about how much your legal fees and things are going to cost you to get this guy out?
Legal fee is going to be around $1,000.
Okay.
The keys were $300.
At this point, and then we, about $300 was the cost for rekeying the locks.
Okay.
And then I can see $1,000 worth of damage as I walk through the house that's going to have to be repaired.
And we have about $7,000 of lost rent.
Wow.
So you can just say that this is a $10,000 bill for you guys try to take care of this. Yeah. Plus a whole lot of heartache, headache, and all of that. So, I started years ago to think about getting into rentals and things. And then I talked to some friends that was in it. And I said, I don't personally have the personality to do it. I just don't. I can't do it. Randy, you've got a couple of them.
Yeah, I've got two in my mail.
Yeah, you're more mellow than I am. So
I've got two comments from the deputies today. They said they had 9 more of these to do today after mine. And then while we were waiting there, one of them was saying the other day he approached the house and a gun slid out on the side of the door facing and started shooting at him. And he shot 3 times through the wall to protect himself. And so it's a very life-threatening, dangerous situation.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, you can't get hot-headed. And if your temper is going to go there, this is kind of Mr. Steady Eddie. He's like a steam liner in the ocean.
Right.
So he's going to be jostled too much. Yeah. And I appreciate that about Stan. You know, but the thing is, we went the extra mile to try to help this couple and keep little children. What broke my heart is little children.
Yes.
Don't have.
Right.
Because of the irresponsibility.
Of the parents.
Of the parents.
Well, you know, a lot of times the people that you try to help the most are the ones that take advantage of you the most. They don't appreciate it. You know, I have a rule at Bobby's that we don't allow any homeless people, quote unquote, homeless people, to be fed. Either you can't bring them into Bobby's and you cannot buy a meal and take it out to them. And a lot of heartache and grief, and people have called me the most satanic person in the world. They think that I'm the most horrible, heartless, you know, person in the world. But I said, if I allow this to happen, this thing will be turned into a soup kitchen and, you know, 50 homeless people, because they'll go back to the camp and say, hey, that Bobby's, you can go over there and 50 people will line up the next day for a free lunch.
That's right. They'll be knocking on your door when you get out the car. They'll be lined up begging for you.
Absolutely.
Buy me a lunch.
And then it'll scare people like you two off, because every time you come there, if you've got beggars on the parking lot knocking on your window before you can even open up the door, you're going to say, hey, I don't like going there no more. And so I don't allow that to happen. And trust me, 911 operators, they know my voice. They hardly even need to say, who is this? I'm like, yeah, you know who this is. Get me a cop out here. And it's my responsibility to keep you safe, my customer safe, to keep my staff safe and pay attention. So while we sometimes look like we're cold-hearted as business people, it's because we've been down this road before. And something that would be very interesting to me is the person that took advantage of you this way, how many times has he done this previous?
Oh, he's an expert at it.
There you go.
I will tell you this.
Yeah.
It's a free commercial. Realtors are using an app now called Forewarn. And I didn't have it until a couple of months ago. But I plugged this tenant in to Forewarn. And Larry, it's a reverse phone lookup.
Okay.
He's had 10 prior convictions.
Wow.
Still rolling. He was not swayed at all with 5 uniformed officers loaded to the teeth standing there. Didn't bother him a bit.
So we got to the bottom line with you. It cost you around 10 grand. Let's just round it off. Okay.
Yep.
That's your money. How much of our money, taxpayer money, five officers in five vehicles, a detective, rolls up. They've got, you said, nine more to do that day. Are they, yes, are they here to protect and serve, or are they just out there cleaning up all the
That's in Pulaski the trash. County. That was in Pulaski County.
Let me
County.
Clear this up for you a little bit.
Okay.
The who came, who serves this is the Pulaski County Sheriff's Department.
Right.
Yes. So
five deputy sheriffs.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
That's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to one of them, I said, now that you all are leaving and the tenants coming back, are we going to be in jeopardy as we wait for the locksmith to get here who is running late? He said, well, if you have a problem, then you call 911 and you get your police officer. So it wasn't LRPD that was doing the work of this.
Right.
It is the sheriff's department that handles these type of situations.
Right.
I didn't really...
The burden would shift to the, it shifted after they got him out, the burden would be on the Little Rock Police Department.
To protect us right. at that point.
It's a different scenario then for them.
Right.
And you and I, you're right there. We don't want police officers having to protect us who've not done anything wrong. We want them out on the road or out in the neighborhoods protecting our personal property and answering those kind of calls. This is real funny. We did see a guy in a wheelchair rolling down University Avenue right in the
traffic.
Road.
Right in the traffic.
Wow.
That same person, it's probably the same person, I should say it that way. I pull up to a stop sign, a stoplight, and I'm in the turn lane. He takes his wheelchair. This is about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Pops off of the curb and puts his wheelchair in front of me and basically begins to demand money out of me. And I kind of rolled down my window and I said, dude, today's not your day. I'd get out from in front of my car. And I think he realized my attitude and my sincerity. And it was like he cussed me and got back. And he's good at that wheelchair. He pops it back up on the curb and looks at me like, well, I hate your guts. And I'm like, thank you, because I didn't want to have to. But trust me, I kind of revved the engine at him. He knew what I was talking about. That's the kind of society that we live in. And I'm a nicer person than that story, okay? I'm just a nicer person than that story. But that's the kind of garbage that we have to put up with. Because the laws are not written for you or me. They're written for the criminal. So, well, if you do have an ending to that story that's a little bit different than what this is, we'll have you back on and we'll put you on another segment of the podcast and all. But at least come in and have lunch and tell me how it all goes, okay?
We'll come by and let you know how it ended.
All right. Hey, thanks for being on here. And again, that is McClellan and Associates. Call Stan or Jane and let them know if you're looking for a house or if you want to sell one. And if you're a renter, you better be a good person or I'll come hunt you down, because I like these two. Hey, thanks for being on there. All right, Randy, we're out of here.
Okay.
Hope you enjoyed the show, folks. Tomorrow starts the same